Hello and welcome to Sharp China. I'm Andrew Sharp, and you are listening to a free preview of today's episode.
TikTok's approach has been very aggressive. They posted a pop-up in the app last week that told users put your zip code in, and then it would pop up the name of your representative and the phone number and say, call your representative. So lawmakers' offices' phone lines were flooded. They got really pissed off at TikTok.
Yeah. Can I just read their in-app alert? Because I really am gobsmacked that they did this.
Sure.
And this, again, may speak to TikTok being caught flat-footed and then reacting in a sort of panicked fashion. But what they sent to users was, stop a TikTok shutdown. Congress is planning a total ban of TikTok. Speak up now before your government strips 170 million Americans of their constitutional right to free expression. This will damage millions of businesses, destroy the livelihoods of countless creators across the country, and deny artists an audience. Let Congress know what TikTok means to you and tell them to vote no. And it was just an amazing sequence because they sent that alert on Thursday when the House Energy and Commerce Committee was voting on markup and whether to advance the bill to a full vote before the House. And so TikTok, facing extreme scrutiny because of concerns about disseminating misinformation and the way that misinformation may distort the legislative process, there they were explicitly distributing misinformation, not only about what the bill calls for, but the idea that this bill would implicate the First Amendment rights of 170 million Americans, which is just outright false as a matter of law. But calling it a total ban of TikTok, that's not what the bill says. And then encouraging thousands of teens to flood Congress with like manic phone calls based on that misinformation.
Yeah, it was not. I mean, I think it's a very aggressive lobbying shop. I think they've gotten quite arrogant too because they've been so successful over the years.
That would make sense.
And I think they have a lot of money to spend. They're very wired into DC and very influential. And so I just think they kind of maybe misunderstood their position what kind of reaction this might generate. I mean, it might have worked for Uber on some level. I think Ben wrote about this in his Monday Stratechery, and he quoted a PR pro, Lulu Chung Maservi, who's talked about sort of why this didn't work specifically for TikTok. It backfired for sure. I mean, one thing I will say is, you know, the line from TikTok and ByteDance is, this is a ban. And I think that in their minds, it is a ban, because I don't think divestment is actually a feasible option here for several reasons. First, you have to wonder whether or not Beijing would approve it. And at least last year, Beijing, the Ministry of Commerce spokesperson, said they wouldn't approve a divestment or a sale of TikTok.
Right.
And, you know, they certainly don't want to have the source code, the algorithms, the models behind the algorithms. They wouldn't want those to be sold and given to an independent company. I think they've been pretty clear on that as well. So from TikTok's perspective, a divestment is probably very much unlikely. You also have the broader question of, well, what does that mean if TikTok US is divested? If TikTok is divested from ByteDance, will they divest just TikTok US and then have a TikTok US and a TikTok rest of the world, and then
TikTok
ByteDance
EU,
Douyin in China? Or does ByteDance give up on TikTok globally? And I think that, you know, one of the things here too, I think that's going on from the PRC government's perspective is for many years, even before Xi Jinping, one of their goals around external propaganda work was this idea of building a greater share of international discourse power, being able to better tell China's story globally, to control the messaging, control the narrative. And you know, so much of information now, of course, flows over the internet. And so a lot of their external, or most of their external propaganda efforts have been focused on going over American social media platforms like Twitter, like YouTube, like Instagram, you know, like Facebook. And TikTok really is the first time that there has been a PRC-owned application that is global and is competing at the highest level with things like YouTube and Facebook. And so for them, as sort of a broader national view, for them to just give up this TikTok global because of a U.S. law, you know, honestly, I think it just doesn't, I don't think it makes sense. And so that's why I think from the ByteDance TikTok's perspective, this bill, if it were to pass in its current form, is effectively a death sentence for TikTok in the US. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, the idea that these creators are all, you know, 170 million people are going to have nothing to do and all these people lose their jobs, you know, they have options. They can go to YouTube Shorts. They can go to right. Reels on Instagram, right? And you know, the smart ones are already multi-platform. And so I think one of the risks here for TikTok is that as this bill progresses, assuming it gets to the Senate, even if it passes and then TikTok litigates, this could do long-term damage to TikTok because the smart creators are going to be much more aggressive about hedging and about building up their presences on other platforms. Mm-hmm. Because increasingly, this just shows that there's a lot of risk on relying on TikTok to run your small business or make your living.
Right.
And unlike, you know, there are options, right? It's not like this is it. And so, again, I think that this effort, even if it ultimately fails in this iteration, I think this is not good for the long-term value of TikTok. And, you know, whether or not ByteDance ever goes public outside of China or tries to list TikTok somewhere, this kind of overhang, even if it's not resolved now, I do think will do long-term damage to the value of the company.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And if they were to divest, I'm sure it would be at a discount because they'd be divesting under duress. But you mentioned the options, the variety of options that people have for free expression. That's why I read the TikTok in-app alert and say that piece of it is also misinformation, just because, and TikTok's going to raise the First Amendment in all sorts of legal challenges that will materialize if this legislation is ever passed. I'm sure TikTok's already mobilizing on that front, but if the government were deleting individual TikToks made by individual American users, yes, that's a huge First Amendment problem. Well, but
you know, one, I think that the legislators and people like the Deputy Attorney General, they understand those issues too. So if they're working on, you know, how do you craft a bill, I think that's something about which they're going to be very cognizant.
Again, this is narrowly tailored. This was developed in a smart way.
As plenty of people have pointed out, there's a long history of American laws around foreign ownership of like broadcast platforms. Like
exactly.
Rupert Murdoch is an American citizen because he couldn't actually own a TV network as an Australian citizen.
Yes.
Right? He became one in the 80s or the early 90s, I think.
And that context is really important. You know, if the government is saying that powerful telecommunications tools can't be owned by a foreign adversary, A, that's not related to the First Amendment whatsoever. And B, that's not new. So I don't take those arguments seriously.
It's not all of a sudden like, you know, just... Obviously, this is about TikTok and China, but there's a much broader historical context to this, too.
Yes, exactly. So on the divestiture question, is it possible that Xi could see a ban of TikTok as more beneficial than a divestment and whatever hundreds of billions of dollars are realized on a sale of TikTok U.S.? Just in as much as a ban fits with Xi's narrative of the U.S. as a hostile foreign power trying to isolate China. And like, does that factor into it at all?
Well, I think they would find ways to extract the propaganda value of a shutdown in the U.S. Whether or not that's their preferred course, I doubt that's what they want. I think they would much prefer it to keep going as it is.
Yeah.
But if it comes to it, they'll find ways to leverage it or to play it up. I think, you know, and again, they lose the U.S. They lost India. India shut it down. Life went on in India. TikTok still grew. Mm-hmm. If it can't operate in the U.S., it can still operate in all sorts of countries, other countries around the world. Whether or not then, say, U.S. allies follow, probably not.
Right.
You know, I think in the EU, as long as they're abiding by EU laws around data and privacy, they're probably not going to have the same issues. I mean, one of the problems too here is the U.S. just has, you know, the U.S. has a real legal... bit of a legal black hole around internet data and privacy. And if there were a better legal structure around those issues, this may have been a more avoidable outcome for TikTok, but we're not mm-hmm. there. And so you have to go right at the issue, which is the sort of the foreign adversary controlled services.
Yeah.
And I just think what's really interesting is in DC, what we're also seeing is how the different constituencies are lining up for or against. Some of it is about money, clearly. How even, you know, in the GOP, there's clearly a pretty significant struggle underway between the folks who are much more concerned about China and the ones who say they are, but are also really concerned about where they're getting their next donor dollar from.
All right. And that is the end of the free preview. If you'd like to hear the rest of today's conversation and get access to full episodes of Sharp China each week, you can go to your show notes and subscribe to either Bill's newsletter, Cynicism, or the Stratechery Bundle, which includes several other podcasts from me and daily writing from my friend Ben Thompson. I'm an incredibly biased news consumer, so I think both are indispensable resources. But either way, Bill and I are going to be here every week talking all things China, and we would love to have you on board. So check out your show notes, subscribe, and we will talk to you soon.